Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places, and Yahshua, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And today we're going to continue our study here in the Gospel of Luke. That's where we were. And we ended up in chapter 4, and we just started chapter 4. So let's just jump to verse 1 here, and it says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." And as we know, he just departed from John, where he was baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. And it says he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Now, most people can't do 3 days without eating something. Some people, I'll tell you, they can't hardly go an hour every day without eating something. But here, the Messiah went 40 days. That's quite a feat. I've never gone even nearly that long without food. But I'll tell you, if you really get into fasting, it's after 3 days that you really have your breakthrough, and the hunger starts to subside so much. But I can't imagine after 40 days what that would be like. But anyway, it says he was hungered afterward, and the devil said to him, "If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." Now you here have the Heavenly Father at one hand, and our Heavenly Father has given us His Word, and He can also tell us to do things. Like if He says, "I want you to go down to the corner of Main Street and J Street right now," the Heavenly Father could tell you that by His Spirit. Now you won't find that commandment in the Scripture, because that's a personal commandment to whoever He's telling it to go down there. And so you could obey that or not, or you could equivocate, or you could say, "Is that really the Spirit of God? And I don't feel like going anywhere right now." And perhaps it wasn't. But the obedient man would say, "Well, perhaps it was. And just to be sure, I'm going to go down there. Because if the Heavenly Father is trying to talk to me and wants me somewhere, I better go there and be there, not looking for a way out." And of course, then you have the devil who tries to tempt you to do things that are against God's law. And apparently, if the Heavenly Father tells you to do one thing, and the devil comes and tries to tempt you out of it, or tempt you into something else, then you're going to choose who you're going to obey. So the devil says to him, and of course, he being the Son of God, him being our Creator in the flesh, he knows who's speaking to him. And is the devil a real entity? Some people would even question that. But the devil says to him, "If you be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." Well, he doesn't want to listen to the devil. If the devil tells you to do something, then you know you don't want to do it. So he answers and he says to him, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." He answers him with the word of God. And the devil, taking him up to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And he says to him, and the devil said to him, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine." Now think about this little bit of dialogue that's going on here, and specifically what the devil just tempted the Messiah with. How many mere men could stand up to that kind of temptation? How many men would find it easy to give in? I mean, what is the temptation, really? You think about it. First, the devil takes him up and shows him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. You know, and I can imagine that. I can imagine the power of all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. I can almost see it. Though I'm not sure what, you know, Yahshua, our Messiah, saw when he was tempted. But to see the power of the kingdoms of this world, you go to Washington, D.C., and you see the power there. You go to Rome, the Vatican, you see the power there. Perhaps you go to the city of London, and you see the power there. And you see all the power of the kingdoms of the world, and you see it, and you comprehend it in a moment of time. And then you might think, you know, if I was in charge, I could run it right. Just think of the social programs that I could institute. I could do away with hunger. Think of all the good things, all of the good intentions that you could be tempted with. Yes, Jesus, if you were in charge of all the kingdoms of the world, you could fix this planet. That's right. So many people are tempted with those kinds of things. And of course, beside that, they're tempted with the fame, the power, the riches, and all of those things that come with having power in the kingdoms of men outside of the kingdom of God. So he shows them all this, and probably more than, you know, I could articulate in the few minutes that I'm going to spend on this verse. He shows him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. I'm just trying to get you a feel for what the Messiah is being tempted with. Now, you know, I don't think that the devil understood who the Messiah was. I think that it was hidden from him that this was no ordinary man. Certainly he was a special man. And did the devil know that he was born of a virgin? Probably not. I don't think he did. Wouldn't imagine. And if he did, he probably would not understand the ramification of that. But I would guess that there are some things that are hidden from the devil because of the blindness of his own eyes. And all of those that follow him, they can't believe, they can't understand. There are certain things they cannot see. Otherwise, he would fall down and worship this man, the Christ, if he understood these things. But he obviously doesn't. So that he tries to tempt him with the power of the kingdoms of this world. And what is Satan saying here? What is the devil telling the Messiah? What are we learning from this passage of scripture? This is something not only that the devil is tempting Satan with, but this is something that an insight that our Heavenly Father is giving to us about the workings of the kingdoms of this world and who is in control, at least on a certain level. Of course, the Heavenly Father really is in charge, because all things are going to work together for good for those that love him, for those that are called according to his purpose. Satan doesn't realize that he can only do what he's allowed. Otherwise, he would not think that he can win. So he's self-deceived. And that's what deceivers are. They are self-deceived. So he tempts him, shows him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Yes, they went online. The devil grabbed the mouse and he started clicking here and Googling this and that, right? Just a picture that came into my mind, how you could see and comprehend all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said, all this power will I give thee. And you think about the basis of men that are in the governments. You have the worst men, the worst of the worst. These are men who lust after power. They lust after money. They lust after riches. That's why they are where they are. And you think about the money powers that rule the world. Why are these people in charge of the money? Because they love money. They lust after money. They lust after the things that money can buy, the power, the riches. ruling over, robbing other men of their labors by that power. And the devil said to him, all this power I will give thee, and the glory of them. And what is the glory of the power and the kingdoms of this world? Well, it's the riches, it's the fame, it's the power to rule over other men. Remember Yahshua? I think he's learning something here, because he came back and he said to the disciples, don't be like, you know, the rulers of this world who lord it over one another. I think Yahshua was seeing it exactly for what it was. There's no temptation there for him, like there would be for mere mortal men. That's right. Not dealing with any mere mortal man here. So the devil said, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. And like I said, this is not only a temptation to Christ, but this is something, an insight that our Heavenly Father is giving us into how the kingdoms of this world operate. The devil says, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Doesn't it just make you want to get out there and vote? And then you wonder why, you know, if voting solves all the problems, well, then all the problems were solved a long time ago, weren't they? No, voting is not going to solve the problems. Righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. That's what the scripture says. Voting doesn't solve the problems, because here's the problem. The problem is, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. The problem is the devil has it. It's been given to him. It's under his power. And why? Why has it been given to him? And you know, I think about the wisdom of the evil lovers of mammon, those who worship mammon, being in control of the money and the wisdom of that. And, it, you know, that's part of the, there's a scriptural phrase that says, the mystery of iniquity, understanding the mystery of iniquity. Why does God allow the worst of the worst and the most evil to be in charge? That sin may be judged in the flesh. That's right. That's what we're here for. This is your judgment day. What will you do? What will you choose? Every choice you make is a judgment on your character, on who you are. Will you give your life to the Creator from whom you gave it? Will you live selfishly? Will you love your neighbor as yourself? Will you love God and love your neighbor as yourself? Or will you just love yourself selfishly? You know, it's all judgment. That sin may be judged in the flesh. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. Now what do you think? Let's take a case in point here. Young man growing up, going off to college from a well-to-do family, a family of ill-gotten gain. He goes to college. Falls in with a group of people. They're looking after him because he's of the right blood and of the right family. And they say, hey, how would you like to have power and help us rule the world? Join our little club. It's called Skull and Bones. Yeah, that's right. Come on, man. You can be part of this. Just think you'll have riches and power and money. And why, you might even become president one day. All you got to do is come in here and worship. You know, it's just, it doesn't mean anything. You know, there's nothing to it. It's just a ritual we go through. Just lay in this coffin here. That's right. Become a knight of Eulogia, a member of the Skull and Bones. And you lay in the coffin and you're reborn into this special class of people. That's right. And now your allegiance is to us. You know, it's the same temptation, you know. Any man, a righteous man, would say, no way, I can't do that. Thou shalt worship, you know, the Lord thy God, Yahuwah thy God alone, and him only shalt thou worship. I can't worship the Pope. I can't worship Don Quixote. His other name is Ignatius Loyola. I can't worship these men, not for money and power, but that's why they do it. You know, this is kind of the same temptation here. It's trying to get a little insight here that the scripture gives us so much here in so few verses. The devil takes him up to a high mountain, shows unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and he offers him this power. Of course, the Messiah refuses. He says, chapter 4, verse 8, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship Yahuwah thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And the devil said, "Serve me, and I'll give you all this." The devil does that. He did that to all of these evil men that are in power today. He said, "Serve me, and I will give you all of this." And they said, "Oh boy, just think of the good I can do. Good intentions, and I can get rich while I'm doing it." Yes, just look around and just watch them. They're all fools. They fell for this line because their hearts are evil and they're only really thinking about themselves while they portray themselves with such good intentions. Think of all the good I can do, all of the justice I can bring to the world. I can feed the poor by robbing their neighbor, by breaking God's law. Now, that's how the social programs of the world work. You have to break God's law to bring about your good intentions, because the end justifies the means. But Yahshua, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship." And he brought him to Jerusalem. And this, of course, is the Messiah. He brought himself to Jerusalem. And he set him on a... this is the devil still working on him here. And he brought him to Jerusalem. He set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said, this is so dumb. I mean, he just turned down all the power of all the kingdoms of this world. And now he wants him to do a dog and pony show for him. It's so silly when you think about it. But he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence." You know, what silliness. Do some tricks for me, Jesus. Come on, man. If you're the Son of God, you know, prove it to me. You know, won't you do a trick for me? Show me a sign. And cast thyself down from here. Really. "For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee." Now he's going to try to use the word against him. "And over thee to keep thee, it is, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. And, you know, it is nice when we resist. The scripture says, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 10:13, "If my memory serves me right, that there is no temptation that has taken you except such as common to man. But our Heavenly Father, he is faithful, that with every temptation he makes a way of escape." And we have a way of escape, and we should look for it. And when we resist, when we say, "Get thee hence, Satan," when we find that way of escape, because we're looking for it, those of us that love the Heavenly Father and desire to live a life that is pleasing to him, we're always looking for the way of escape from the temptations that come, that are common to man, because we want to live a life that's pleasing to him. And you know what? Then he departs from us for a season, and we have rest. But he'll be back, don't worry. Because this life is about being tried and being tempted and being proved. This life is about judging sin in the flesh. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogue and being glorified of all. So you got Yahshua teaching in the synagogues, teaching with power, you know, and authority, and people proclaiming it, glorifying, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And now here we have the lost years of Jesus. Oh, what did he do until he was 12? Well, we have another little insight into the not-so-lost years of Yahshua, the Messiah. It says, as was his custom. See, he was a good Hebrew boy. He grew up in a good and righteous Hebrew family, and their custom was to do what? On the Sabbath day, they went to the synagogue. So, a little more insight into what Yahshua did with his family as he was growing up in Nazareth. Okay, there's our first break. You're listening to Cross the Border. Do come back, and we'll continue in our study in the Gospel of Luke.